If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
John chapter 7. Begin reading at verse 37 as soon as I take a drink. Amen.
Verse 37,
on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Spirit has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." John adds the note, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come right now. Speak through your servant. May the anointing that is upon your holy word be manifest in power, Lord, right here, right now. Hallelujah. Lord, I come against distractions. I come against hindrances. I come against thoughts that are not of you. I come against anything of the enemy, anything of the flesh, Lord, that would detract from what you want to do right now. Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak through your servant, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to minister to you this morning on the subject, the Spirit-filled life. The Spirit-filled life. Now, let me share a little background of this passage. This event that we just read here in John 7 occurred at the Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Booths. It was one of the Jewish feasts, one of the festivals that God had commanded Israel to observe. The ceremony was to commemorate the provision of God for the Israelites in the wilderness, and The Israelites for this festival would build temporary shelters or booths and reside in them for a week, kind of like Christian camp out together, all right? And they would do that, as I said, to commemorate God's protection of them as they traveled in the wilderness. And and one of the main elements of the Feast of Tabernacles was that the priest would lead a procession from the temple to the nearby pool of Siloam. He would draw out water into a golden pitcher from that pool. And the water was solemnly carried back to the temple. A little bit of wine was added to the pitcher to symbolize joy. And as the pitcher was brought through the temple gates, trumpets would sound. Then the mixture was poured onto the bronze altar as they recited Isaiah 12:3, which says, "With joy you draw water from the wells of salvation." This was done once a day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day. Then on the eighth and final day of the feast, no water was poured, which symbolized the fact that once Israel had reached the promised land, they would reap their provisions from the land. And so it is on the eighth day, the last day of this feast, with that symbolism in mind, Jesus stood up in the gathered assembly. Now, the normal posture for one teaching or proclaiming was to sit, but Jesus stood up, the scripture says here, and it says he spoke to the assembled worshipers in a loud voice. Jesus wanted to be heard. What he was about to say was of great importance, and we'll look at what he said in a moment. But I want you to notice verse 39, the last verse that I read. In verse 39, John, the writer here, adds the explanatory note that when Jesus talked about water, water was a great symbol of the Holy Spirit. John says he was talking about, he was referring to the Holy Spirit, he said, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. John was referring to the day of Pentecost, which was soon to come, But he says the Spirit at the time of Jesus speaking here had not been given because Jesus had not yet ascended to the Father. He's referring to Acts chapter 2, the day that would come when God would pour out his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was certainly active and was certainly moving. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, the scripture records that the Holy Spirit would come upon individuals on particular occasions for particular works that God wanted them to do. And the Spirit would come upon them and empower them to do something that God wanted them to do. But Jesus here was looking forward to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where things would change on the birthday of the church, where the Holy Spirit would be given and would not just come upon individuals at special times, but he would indwell believers in all his fullness, and he would flow through them as a regular course. A change was about to occur. And so Jesus was looking forward to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. As I said, it would be transformational. It would transform lives. And it's that transformed life that we're talking about this morning, what I'm calling the Spirit-filled life. John the Baptist declared that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16:7 that he would send the Holy Spirit. Today we will explore four important aspects of the Spirit-filled life found in Jesus' declaration here in John chapter 7. What's the first thing we need to take note of? We need to observe. We need to see, first of all, that there is an all-inclusive summons. An all-inclusive summons. Jesus stood up in a loud voice and said, "If anyone is thirsty." Now, anyone means exactly what you think it means. It means anyone. It means anyone in Jesus' day. Anyone in the 20 centuries plus since, it means anyone today. It means any one of us who are gathered here today and everyone else. If anyone is thirsty, all of us know what it's like to experience the physical sensation of thirst. I'm a little thirsty right now. That's probably rude, forgive me. You can bring your own water in. Everyone knows the physical sensation of thirst. I looked this up, and the sensation of thirst occurs when there is a loss of water from the blood cells of our body. As those cells pass by a particular sensor in the brain, the sensor alerts the body that water needs to be added. First, there's the dry mouth and a craving for fluids. Then there is a decrease in the production of saliva, and then difficulty swallowing. If the body at that point still doesn't get the liquid it wants, it begins to suffer dehydration. The skin becomes dry and wrinkly. A fever develops. Sweating stops. Kidneys shut down, and death can result. The thing that surprised me is that dehydration takes place with the loss of only 8% of the body's water content. Did you know that? If we lose 8% of our body's water content, dehydration results. And that's under normal conditions with no water intake, that we lose 2.5% of the body's water content per day. But if it's particularly dry or we perspire a lot due to heat or activity, the rate of dehydration increases. That means that even under very ordinary conditions, we could experience fatal dehydration levels within 3 days of no water intake. That's why they say you can go perhaps up to 30 days without food, but 3 days without water is about the limit. Our bodies require hydration, require water. But you know, our spirits require spiritual hydration. Our spirits were created to be in communion with the Spirit of God. We were created to have the Spirit of God hydrate our spirits, to water, to refresh our spirits. I love this verse in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? It's known that a deer will do anything to get to a source of water, even risk physical harm and danger from predators, because it has to have water. And David here in Psalm 42 says, just as that deer is fixated upon getting water, so my soul, O Lord, is fixated upon you, upon being in your presence, upon being in communion with your Holy Spirit. I need your Holy Spirit. Church, whether we realize it or not, we need the Holy Spirit today. We need the flow of God's Spirit in our lives. We need the life that He gives. You can be physically dehydrated and not know it. It's a dangerous condition to be in. I submit to you today that spiritual dehydration is much worse. When there is no flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty. This morning, all Jesus is looking for here at Harvest Church and everywhere else in the hundreds of thousands of churches that are meeting together throughout the world is people who are thirsty for Him. If you've not received Christ as your Savior, then your thirst is for the salvation that He can give. If you're a believer in Him, then you need to be thirsty for the flow of the Spirit in your lives that brings life, that brings refreshing, that brings empowerment. This morning, we need to come to Him, not just the week of the Holy Spirit conference, but every week and every day of our lives, we need to be thirsty for Him. We need to desire Him above everything else. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you're here today and you hear what I'm saying and you read these scriptures about if anyone is thirsty and you understand the concept of spiritual thirst, but if you were to be honest from your innermost being, you'd say, Pastor Tim, I'm not really that thirsty today. You would never say that out loud, but if you were to be honest on the inside, Pastor Tim, I just came here because, you know, it's 10:30 service time, and I just hope we get out by noon so I can get the best place at the local restaurant, and I got things to do, and I just want to check a box off my to-do list this week, and I'm just here because, you know, it's church time, and I love the Lord, and I've come for the fellowship and the worship and the sermon, but you know, it's just business as usual. If that's your heart today, then the greatest prayer that you can pray is this: Lord, give me a thirst for you. Lord, help me to realize that nothing is as important as receiving what I need to receive from you. Pray that prayer even now, even as you're listening to this sermon. Say, Lord, make me thirsty. Lord, make me thirsty for you. Hallelujah. We'll do anything to satisfy that physical thirst. And when we have that spiritual thirst, when we crave the Spirit of the living God, we crave fellowship with the Holy Spirit, God will respond to that thirst. Heard a story about a man who was crawling through the Sahara Desert when he's approached by another man riding on the camel. As the rider approaches, the crawling man whispers through parched lips, "Water, please, can you give me water?" "I'm sorry," replies the man on the camel, "I don't have any water with me, but I'd be delighted to sell you a necktie." "A necktie?" the parched man says, I don't need a necktie, I need water." The man says, "These ties are only $4 a piece." The man says, "I need water." Okay, the man on the camel says, "2 for $7. "Please," he says, "I need water. I'm sorry, I don't have any water. All I have are ties." And he heads off. By now, the man has lost all track of time. He's dehydrated. He's delirious. He crawls through the desert for what seems like days. Finally, nearly dead, he comes to, with his clothes tattered, he comes to an oasis. His skin is peeling under the relentless sun. He comes to an oasis, and there's a restaurant in that oasis. Summoning all his strength, he staggers to the front door and confronts the head waiter. "Water," he says, "I need water." "I'm sorry, sir," the head waiter says, "neckties required." Let me tell you this morning, there are no requirements to receive the water of the Holy Spirit except a thirst. If you are thirsty, you will be filled. And as I said, if you don't sense that thirst that says there's more, God has more for me. I want more of Jesus. I want more of His Holy Spirit. Then pray that prayer, even right now. Lord, make me thirsty for You. In Jesus' name. An all-inclusive summon says, if anyone is thirsty. Are you thirsty today? Are you thirsty as we move toward this Holy Spirit conference? Are you expecting God to do something extraordinary, something transformational, something life-changing in your life through the power of His Spirit? If anyone is thirsty, an all-inclusive summons. The second thing we see here is an always available source. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus is the source. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will speak of me. You see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in perfect harmony. They are one. They are three persons, yet they are one God. They are in perfect harmony. Jesus was sent at the will of the Father. Jesus said, the words I speak are the words of my Father. The things I do are what my Father wants me to do. And then Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit. And when He comes, He will speak of me. He will focus upon me. The Holy Spirit was focused upon Jesus. When you read in the book of Acts, the effect of the fullness of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, you see that their preaching and their teaching and their focus was about Jesus. They focused on Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit causes us to focus on Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. Jesus is the source for everything we need. In the Old Testament, there were various names for God. Jehovah Jireh was God the provider. Jehovah Rapha was God the healer. Jehovah Nissi was God our banner. And we can go so on and so on. But in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, all the attributes of God are found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the complete package. Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus the Son is a perfect representation of His Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. It's all in Jesus. Whatever you need today, it's in Jesus. Whatever burden you're carrying, the solution to that burden, the solution to that problem is found in Jesus. Jesus said, come to me and drink. He's the source. You know, there are so many religions that make you jump through hoops. There are so many religions that make you check off boxes and make you go through certain steps and make you kind of feel like you have to almost run an obstacle course. Aren't you thankful this morning that Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Amen. Jesus is welcoming. You know, religion separates people. Religion closes people off. Religion categorizes people. And religion excludes people. But Jesus welcomes people. Amen. Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Everything you and I need is found in Jesus today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all in Him. Yeah. Say that with me. It's all in Him. Hallelujah. Say it like you mean it. It's all in Him. All Turn in to somebody Him. On your left and say, it's all in Him. Now to your right, it's all in Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let Him come to me and drink. You know how it is when you're thirsty. You can gut you go, if you're really parched, you're really thirsty, man. You can guzzle it down. Restaurants they're pretty clever. They serve you your drinks first thing and make you wait for the food. And especially good if it's an all-you-can-eat food bar, right? Because you load up on drink, you might not eat as much of their salad bar or food bar, whatever. But when I eat a meal, I'm trying to watch my salt content lately, so that's helped me. But when I eat a meal, man, I go through the beverages. I don't know about you, but I've eaten with some of you, and I've eaten with some people, And, you know, I'll be on my third drink, and they'll eat about drink about this much of their drink. How many of you are just sippers when you eat? A lot of you. Wow. How many of you are guzzle hounds like me? There we go. Okay. I figured I wasn't alone. We're all different in that way. But I'll tell you what. When you are parched, when you are desperate for hydration, you're not just going to sip. Even you sippers. Okay? You're gonna be a little more like us guzzle hounds, because you are desperate for water. You're desperate for hydration. Some years ago in South America, a crew of Peruvian soldiers headed up the Amazon River, and they came to a strange sight. It was a scene almost like from the Twilight Zone. A Spanish ship was anchored off the coast, and all the sailors were stretched out weakly on the deck of the ship. And as the Peruvians drew closer, they saw that the Spaniards were in terrible physical condition. They looked like the picture of death itself. Their lips were parched and swollen. They were literally dying of thirst. The Peruvians said to them, "Can we help you?" And the Spaniards cried out, "Water! We need water!" The Peruvians were surprised at this, and they told them, they said, "Lower your buckets down and help yourselves." And the Spaniards thought they'd been misunderstood. They said, "No, we need fresh water." But they received the same reply from the Peruvians to lower their buckets and help themselves to all the water they wanted. They finally did, and they brought the buckets up on deck. They didn't realize it was fresh water they were in. They had quit trying. They had been anchored at the mouth of the Amazon River, anchored for days, too far from land to see the coast, but not too far from the mouth of the river. They had water that they needed in abundance, and yet they were dying of thirst. What a picture of people in today's world. Jesus says, "If anyone is thirsty, come and drink." And many believers, even sitting in churches this morning, are spiritually dry. They're going through the motions. And if they're even in church at all, and they're going through the motion, and you know when you're dry in your spirit, don't you? Anyone ever experienced spiritual dryness, a lack of vitality? Man, it's just not there. You're going through the motions, and it's you're just there. And the pertinent point this morning is it doesn't have to be that way. We're like those Spanish sailors at the mouth of the Amazon River. The water is all around us. It's there for the taking. Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, come and drink." There is no reason for any of us to leave an anointed service where the power of God is moving. And God is doing great things. There is no reason for any of us who may have come in spiritually dry to leave the same way. It's up to you and to me how much we partake of the spiritual water that God wants to provide for us. Do we believe that this morning? It's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to me. We can leave as dry as we came in, or we can be refreshed by the spiritual water that God has for us. If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Amen. Third thing we see here is a life-changing satisfaction. Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from him." Living water. Jesus had said to the woman at the well, remember that in John chapter 5? She was drawing water. And Jesus said, "I have water for you." She said, "Sir, how will you procure this water? The well is deep. You don't have a bucket." Jesus said, "I have living water that you don't know anything about." Jesus said, "I have water that will change your life." When we are full of the flow of the Holy Spirit, when God has his way in our lives, there is a life-changing satisfaction that nothing compares to. That nothing compares to. A life-changing satisfaction. How many have ever heard of Gatorade? How many drink Gatorade? Remember the Gatorade commercials? I don't know if I've seen too many lately, but I don't know if you, some of you may know the history, the genesis of the invention of Gatorade. If you've, you know, been especially in the deep south, like Alabama or Florida in August, Texas, places like that, you know how hot it can be. It gets hot enough here, but it can get really hot down there. And especially when you're doing something like competitive sports. That was the experience that the Florida Gators football team was going through back in the late 60s. And, you know, they start camp, college football teams start camp in August, in the end of the summer, when it's just, especially in the South, brutally hot. And as they were starting training camp, players were being dehydrated. They were having them drink gallons and gallons of water, but they were still suffering from heat exhaustion and cramping. So the School of Medicine came up with a recipe at the request of the coaches for fluid replacement, which included water, sodium, sugar, potassium, phosphate, and lemon juice. And they put it all together, this concoction, and they started, it was scientifically composed, and so they started giving it to their players during these hot late summer practices, and they were doing better. They were better hydrated, and when they started playing their games in September, when it was still warm, they found them, especially in the second half of games, they were dominating their opponents because they were taking this concoction, and it was replacing the minerals and the things they needed in their body, and so they were more fit than their opponents. And drinking this concoction was even credited with the Florida Gators winning the 1967 Orange Bowl. And so the university decided to market this new drink, and they marketed it under the name Gatorade. And it's used by, you see it, college, pro, sports, every major sport, you see it on the sidelines, they're drinking Gatorade because it's scientifically formulated to give athletes what they need. You know, Jesus said, I have living water for you. And what Jesus has for us will satisfy like nothing else. Like nothing else. Anything you and I can think of. And listen, we as believers, we as Christians, are not immune to the lure of the things of this world to try and satisfy our souls. Come on, we're not immune to that. And it's amazing the lengths that people will go to receive satisfaction. Jesus said, I have living water. I have what you need. And there is a lack. There is a spiritual dehydration. There is a holy dissatisfaction with life without the fullness of the Spirit. John Piper puts it this way. He, meaning Jesus, frustrates the human race again and again. He causes every wreath to wither, every gold cup to tarnish, every muscle to sag, every face to wrinkle, every sexual exploit to go sour, every sin to sting until we have put him off too long. He wants us for himself. Everything else must grow dim for us to fully understand. Everything else must fail for us to fully experience the blessing. My prayer for us as a church, my prayer as your pastor, is that we would develop a holy dissatisfaction with all the things, all the glittering toys, all the things that we look to satisfy us, and we would have a dissatisfaction that would drive us to our knees, that would drive us to seek Jesus Christ for this living water, because nothing satisfies, nothing makes us whole, nothing brings life like the living water of His Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that we have a holy dissatisfaction with every poor substitute that this world has to offer. Till we realize that nothing satisfies but the flow of His Spirit in our lives. Amen. That's my prayer. So if you, this week, if you're going throughout the week and you're a little extra special miserable, blame me, because that's what I'm praying for. I don't say that often. Some of you may Some of you may blame me more than I want you to anyway, but this week, I'm praying that God gives us a holy dissatisfaction with anything less than the flow of His Spirit in our lives. So if you're especially miserable this week, you can blame your pastor. Hallelujah. But realize that it's only His Spirit that will satisfy. A life-transforming satisfaction is what He has for us. Church, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you've known the Lord 50 years or 50 days. There's more. Come on. I say this with the utmost respect and reverence for our senior saints who've known Jesus longer than I've been alive. I love you and I look up to you. But even for you, there's more. There's more. Come on. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, flood my being with your Holy Spirit because there's more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's more. So we see an all-inclusive summons. If anyone is thirsty, an always available source, let him come to me and drink. And a life-changing satisfaction of living water. What's the fourth thing we see here? A never-ending supply. A never-ending supply. In verse 38, Jesus says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams, or some translations say rivers of living water will flow from within him. Streams or rivers of living water will flow. You know, Jesus didn't promise a trickle. Jesus didn't promise a little taste of the Holy Spirit. You know? And sometimes we make the mistake of being satisfied with a little bit. A little bit. Some of us, I hope this isn't the case, but some of us who are in the services of this Holy Spirit conference coming up, we're going to come and it's going to be great, and God's going to move, and God's going to do extraordinary things, not just because Tim's coming, but he's God's servant, but because it's a divine appointment for our church, amen? And God's going to do amazing things, and some of us are going to leave. We're going to say, man, that was great. Oh, that was awesome. Man, God, wow, God, I got blessed. I got touched. And then we're going to go back into our routines, into our schedules, and pretty soon it'll be as if nothing happened. You know what I call that? I call that a sip. I call that a taste. Church, I don't want a sip of the living water. I don't want a taste. I want a river.
Amen.
I want a flood. I want to be different on the back end of the flood than I am before the flood. I don't want a momentary experience. I don't want to have an hour or two of feeling good. I want to be transformed.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
I want a flood. I want to be different as a result of having that never-ending supply flow in my life. Jesus didn't promise a trickle. He promised a river. Can we get our minds around this? The Holy Spirit is like a mighty rushing river. Let me tell you, rivers are powerful. I mentioned the Amazon before. Let me tell you a little bit about the Amazon River. This is fascinating. The Amazon River finds its origin above the freeze line of the Andes Mountains in South America. There, little trickles of water emerge from the frozen ground. This is the genesis, the starting point of the mighty Amazon River. Little trickles of water emerge from the frozen ground and start to flow down the mountain. One little stream is flowing, and then other ones, they join together until it becomes a river. And as these varied streams come together and form one river, they pick up speed and power. It then flows for 3,600 miles before it reaches the Atlantic Ocean. By the time it has flowed that distance, 3,600 miles, and hits the Atlantic Ocean, it does so at the rate of 1.4 million gallons of water per second. And it flows with such force that it pushes the fresh water some 60 miles into the Atlantic Ocean. Starting from a trickle, becomes a mighty river. pushes that water at that rate of speed and power, 60 miles at the mouth of the Amazon River, 60 miles, it flows fresh water into the Atlantic Ocean. That's powerful. You know, that's just a picture, a poor one at that, of the power of the flow of the river of the Holy Spirit that God wants to have active in our lives. You hear about great men and women of God doing awesome things and moving in power and being used of God in ways that some of us feel like we can only dream about. Can I tell you something? They're just people like you and me. They're just people like you and me. They're just sinners saved by grace like you and me. But they have been yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit. And they have been opened up to the flow of God's Spirit in their lives. And that's that little that flow of the Spirit that begins as a trickle has become a mighty rushing river in their lives. And God uses that to do great exploits in His name. How about you? Is that river flowing in your life? Is that never-ending supply flowing in your life? I told you, the New Testament, the New Covenant brought a change from the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to just come upon us at moments in time, but He wants to be a river flowing through us. Hallelujah. That when you wake up in the morning and you commune with God, the Holy Spirit, that river is flowing through you.
Yes, even on a Monday.
Hallelujah. And that Spirit will flow through us and will bring life to everyone we come in contact with. Don't you want that for your life?
Yes.
Don't we want that for Harvest Church?
Yes.
We've experienced it before. We had a time back in the shopping center back about 14, 15 years ago where we were talking about the river of God flowing, and there were people, they'd walk in that shopping center, our sanctuary in there, and they would say, I can see the river. I can feel the river of God flowing. They weren't crazy. They weren't hallucinating or imagining things, but there was a physical manifestation of the river of God flowing. I want to see that again in our church. I want to experience that again. I want us to experience that in our lives. Hallelujah. A never-ending supply. When you go through struggles, when you go through difficulties, when you face dilemmas that you don't know what to do about them, the Holy Spirit, that flow of the Holy Spirit will be there as a never-ending supply and will meet every need in your life and will flow out of you to meet the needs of others. Maybe you're talking with someone, you would love to lead them to the Lord, but you can't break through that hard shell. You can't break through that resistance. You know what can? The river of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, God can use our words. God can use our testimonies. But sometimes there's a hardness that only the anointing, the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives can break through. Wouldn't you love for God to use you that way? There is a never-ending supply. Spirit-filled life. Life in the Spirit. Life in a new dimension. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, When the Holy Spirit had been poured out, he's preaching that great Pentecost Day sermon. He said, this promise, in other words, this gift, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is for you and your children and all who are far off. It's for every believer. Hallelujah. Conclusion this morning. As we've looked at the Spirit-filled life, we see that there is an all-inclusive summons. If anyone is thirsty. God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't love one person, any one person, than He does any one other person. Do you believe that? Do you believe God loves you and wants to give you good things as much as He does anyone else?
Yes.
Do we believe that?
Yes.
Of course we do. That's the God we serve. Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, hallelujah. And as I said a couple times, I'm going to say it one more time. If you're not thirsty today, pray that. That needs to be your prayer. You pray right here and right now. Lord, make me thirsty. Lord, open my spiritual eyes. Lord, let me be dissatisfied with anything other than You. Make me thirsty. And always an all-inclusive summons, an always available source. Let Him come to me and drink. We don't have to wonder where to go. We don't have to have some kind of map to give us, or GPS to give us the directions. The water is all around us. Let him come to me, Jesus said, and drink. Jesus, oh, Jesus, we're thirsty today. Hallelujah. And then there's a life-changing satisfaction. Jesus said, I have living water. I have something that's going to transform your life. Lord, do it. Work in us. Flow through us, we pray. With that life-changing living water that brings life-changing satisfaction. And finally, there's a never-ending supply. Lord, we don't want a trickle. Lord, we don't want a sip. We don't want an occasional blessing. We don't want just a touch. Lord, we don't want just a service or two. Lord, we don't want to experience you just through 3 days of a conference. But Lord, we want rivers. We want rivers. We want mighty rushing rivers of your Spirit to come and invade our lives. Lord, to sweep out everything that's not of you, to make us holy, to make us closer to you, to make us more loving like Jesus, more compassionate, more concerned about lost people, more faithful to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we want a river today.